Welcome to Cultivate the Ordinary Podcast, curious conversations for the anxious, frustrated, and bored. I'm Travis.
And I'm Jessie. So often we're held captive by screens, schedules, and media that's mind-numbing and polarizing. This leaves us seeing dimly through a fog. We want to spark more imagination and a better awareness of God's presence in the everyday.
Join us on a fun journey of discovery and curiosity as we look at the ordinary through the lenses of joy, wonder, beauty, and hope. Hello and welcome to another episode of Cultivate the Ordinary Podcast. I'm your host today, Travis. I'm flying solo. Which means it gets to be the topic completely of my choice. So Jess and I joke a lot with, sometimes we don't just joke. It becomes fights and arguments over the way that we are wired very differently to, I tend to have a really, maybe it's more chaotic thing going, but just like I like to not always be organized and plan things as well. So which, if you're running a podcast, isn't great. But there's kind of a spontaneity and kind of a excitement I get sometimes of just, being sparked by things that, you know, just kind of stir my imagination and, yeah. And to have more organic times of not having necessarily an outline, but that has its downsides too. So when we pair up on these podcasts, we definitely have an outline. But today I'm running wild and free. So this thing could be super meandering and you'll maybe realize why I probably should have had an outline. And so we'll see where this goes, but it should be fun. Before we get more into just kind of the topic today I want to talk about, reminder, we have this podcast available on YouTube, Cultivate the Ordinary. You can look that up. Like and subscribe. It'd be awesome if you enjoy the visual experience of a podcast, which many do. You can see the rotating carousel of trucker hats, our expressions when we're looking at each other, eye rolling, or whatever. Maybe I'm not following the outline and Jessie shows me what she thinks of that. I was going to say also you could keep up with seeing like different facial hairstyles, but I guess I realized like I probably had this kind of long beard for at least a few years. I always used to change things up and be like, okay, what's Travis rocking next on his face? But it's been pretty much this solid kind of lumberjack beard. Kind of thinking at this point, if I shave that, I mean, there is a wildlife refuge inside of here that's, you know, it's going to be destroyed. So I'm caring for the small critters that inhabit this beard. Anyhow, also, if you are enjoying the podcast and have not left a review, I would love that if you did that. That's another way that just helps it be more visible. And it's always great to get any feedback. When you make something. Love to hear from you on that, or have really enjoyed reading people's comments. So that's what I have to start. I wanted to talk today about something that I guess I'm really passionate about. It's been something in me that's probably, I don't know, grown or become more of a thing I focus on more in the last few years. Maybe it has to do with just getting older, 45 now. Maybe it's partly lost my dad a few years ago in 2022. So a lot of like memories go back to growing up and, kind of where I came from. I also think I'm pretty nostalgic, so I'm kind of wired to kind of, I don't know, look back and, I don't know, romanticize things. It can be, I grew up on a farm. I've got a plan to get an old sunflower planter that we had from our family farm where it was from North Dakota down to Orlando, Tennessee, and kind of have that be a piece that bridges both worlds of growing up and then here. So that's really cool. it's a whole adventure in of itself getting that there. But I definitely, yeah, wanted to talk just today some about how I think that we are, there's an innate need in us to, I think, be rooted somewhere. And I think a lot of us have lost that, but we long for that. And many of us maybe not even feel like we need that and aren't aware of how much maybe we actually do. If you've ever, you know, kind of listened to podcasts or listened to anything I've said on things, you'll probably hear this quote regularly, but the Spanish philosopher, writer, Ortega y Gasset, maybe butchering that, but has a great line. He says, "Tell me the landscape in which you live and I will tell you who you are." And I think about that a lot. It's kind of a little bit of kind of what's helping set up this podcast, but how we are shaped by the places that we come from. You know, there's a distinct culture in a place. There's a way, you know, this is, you know, sociology does study, you know, how, you know, people are shaped and where they're shaped. What I'm going to be quoting from today a lot is a book called The Language of Cottonwoods, Essays on the Future of North Dakota by Clay Jenkinson. Very random book, found it on Amazon at one point. And it brings up a lot of questions about a place. Now he's talking about a specific state, but there's a lot in this that just was very thought provoking for me as I thought about being shaped by geography and place and, you know, this idea of rootedness somewhere. So I'm going to definitely be quoting from some of his writing in this book, as I'm kind of having this conversation monologue, kind of more zoomed out, kind of the things he's talking about, like for all of us, and then somewhat into my own story, of my place, and see if this just sparks or resonates anything in you as you're listening. So to kick things off, if you remember back to history growing up, there was, a French, kind of a, I guess you could say, philosopher, writer, who studied a lot about sociology and nations, Alexis de Tocqueville, wrote a very famous work, as he studied, the new world that had been established in the U.S. He called Democracy in America, the book. And this takes place in 1835, and he kind of was observing sort of as a, just a, you know, a detached sort of social scientist looking at the U.S., you know, this nation state that had gotten started and then had formed its own culture by that time, since its independence. So this is really interesting. And this is actually quoted in The Language of Cottonwoods. So I'm reading that from this book, but consider where we're at today in 2025 as Americans. You know, there's this sort of restless kind of maybe uprootedness of us not feeling maybe tied to a place or, kind of wrestling with some of that tension, you know, of maybe being nomadic and just sort of that whole thing. But this is really fascinating because this comes from an observation in 1835. And so think of how, if that was sort of the experience of the U.S. then, I don't know that we're far off, if not sort of that same sort of thing. But he says that, describing Americans as the most restless people on earth, in the U.S., a man builds a house in which to spend his old age, and he sells it before the roof is on. He plants a garden and leaves it just as the trees are coming into bearing. He brings a field into tillage and leaves other men to gather the crops. He embraces a profession and gives it up. He settles in a place, which he soon afterwards leaves to carry his changeable longings elsewhere. So, again, that's a generalized, stereotypical look at the U.S. is culture of people in, you know, before, I mean, this is before the Civil War. And so, wow. I mean, you could, you know, isn't that still, you know, I mean, that could have been written now. So have we really changed that much? And then in the book, the author says, in the 21st century, even when we don't migrate from place to place, we have added rootlessness to restlessness. Goes on to say that which could be anywhere. Best Buy, Olive Garden, Sam's Club is also nowhere. And then he describes what is the spirit of a place. He says it's, again, the author, Clay Jenkinson, the spirit of a place is mostly a lens we acquire or earn because we want not just to occupy land, but to inhabit it, to wear it in our bones. Goes on to say that it's either something that emanates from the land into the people who inhabit or visit it, or is an attitude held by people towards a place. So that's kind of the backdrop of this whole thing of, you know, places that we come from, there's a spirit of that place. There's the things, the culture, the identity that makes it up and all that goes into that. Part of it's, as the author saying, is sort of what we also cast onto that place through our own perceptions, but also how it forms us. The second type of a spirit of place is what he calls the family's home place, particularly a rural family, which is my story. So I'm really resonating with, you know, what he talks about here. But I think though, even if you're not from a rural farm family growing up or something like that, like you can still, I think we can all think about though where we came from and what a place means to us. So here's what he says. He says, he's talking about a family farm. We no longer own the farm. But I'm trying to read this around a light here. But I make the pilgrimage to the home place at least once a year. When I'm there, I invariably go into the barn to kick around among the stalls. I can remember which stanchion belonged to which Holstein or Guernsey cow. I climb up into the hayloft and scramble around a little among what's left of disintegrating hay bales. The smell of dry hay in a barn loft is one of the greatest and the most evocative of all smells. He goes on and says, as I walk about on the warm earth of the old family farm, I feel sad and glad and recharged with memory. I feel closer to my roots. I ache for what has been lost in my life, in my family, in the lifeway of the upper plains and prairie, in rural life in America. And then I get in my car and drive away. Sure, I don't have the right stuff to be a true agrarian, but the agrarian in me, that tendril of rootedness, is what I prize most in my character. I love that. But yeah, like what he says later, he says, we live at a time in human history when place matters less than it ever has before. And while it matters less because we live in an era that's just, it's so, we're so driven by, you know, technology and, you know, we can get lost in streaming shows. I mean, I can too. And just, you know, sort of this illusory world of social media, where, you know, it becomes this whole nother sort of almost planet we inhabit, that the actual like geographical, you know, rootedness of a place does. It's mattering less and less. And yet at the same time, I think in us is a longing for that very thing. I can't help but think when we came back from this, or when we were at that place, Townsend, Tennessee, there was a sense in which I think, you know, seeing the mountains, and seeing the grandiosity of sort of the skyline, is a grounding thing in an age with so much upheaval and unrest and the news and just anxiety and all of these. It's just a frenetic pace. All of this is coming at us like 1,000 miles an hour at all times, you know, just information. To be able to be at a place that is so grounding visually, it's just sort of this, it's just, we need that. And I think that's what I was feeling. Like I can't go back yet. And it wasn't like I just because I can't go back to schedule. It was like, I'm not ready to just step back into that. And so we then spent the last, part of that day, extra day, just kind of sitting, reading, just looking out. We were sitting near this river at a brewery and just kind of just taking in the sights and sounds. And so, yeah. So anyway, I think that's, something I think a lot about, place and how that shapes us. And speaking of that, in my own story of looking back, I am really, drawn to reading about, like the plains or, my home state of North Dakota, things like that. And there's a great book by Kathleen Norris, who's a great writer, called Dakota, A Spiritual Geography. She describes Dakota, and in this book, it's sort of both North and South Dakota at times, but she said, this is a place of little rain and few trees, dry summer winds and harsh winters, a land rich in grass and sky and surprises. And, I think of how I really was shaped, looking back at a place like that where, you sat under this giant sky. And in our case, we were on a rural farm in a very rural state. I mean, I think it's the fourth least populous state in the country. We'd often describe like our neighbors, like the neighbor would be like that yard light, 5 miles away that you can, faintly see. A couple more excerpts from this book as I'm kind of reminiscing on kind of the things that helped make me who I am and shaped me growing up in this sort of harsh land of extremes, beauty, but land of extremes. She says, what makes the Western Plains seem most like the ocean to me is not great sweeps of land cut into swells and hollows or the grass rippling like waves, what the Lakota call greasy grass, or the sheets of rain that one sees moving in the distance like storms at sea. It is the sound. Many mornings when the wind has come up during the night, the trees around my house thunder like high surf that swells and ebbs without cease. The wind is so loud, you have to shout at the person next to you and you can't hear yourself think at all. You begin to wonder if you have a self. It's funny because Anne Lamott once remarked in The Wind, she said, another damn wind. I hate wind so much. It can make you feel hopeless, even in world-class beauty. If you're from the Midwest or the Upper Plains, you know wind. And I can't it's like, I feel like every day it was like 30 plus miles an hour. And when you're out doing work or you're just living in an environment like that, that you're just kind of always facing resistance, like at all times, like it's just another feature that I think makes people that live in a place like that just rugged, because you have to be, resilient, you're sort of like in the very like place you're embodying, you're physically facing every day, like this strong wind most of the time. I mean, I just thought about that recently, how much that shapes your character, shapes you and the things that you have to overcome, just to kind of like not fall on the ground, getting out of your car, just walking around. So last thing, from that book, from Kathleen Norris's book, Dakota, she said that, so the naturalist Lorne Isley once commented on the way plains people have been, in his words, strung out at nighttime under a vast solitude rather than linked to the old world village with its adjoining plots. Think Europe, everything's tight together. We were mad to settle the West in this fashion. He says, you cannot fight the sky. So anyway, reading that book really brought me back to this idea of like, wow, just how wild, how harsh, how, just the temperatures, it can be, 90s to 100 in the summer, and it can be, 50 plus below wind chill at times during the winter. You have this, so, you know, and how that kind of helped shape and form me growing up there as a kid. You know, I love this idea in this book of just, you know, how kind of the parallel between growing up in a rural plain state like that with just miles between neighbors, even at times, and then this wind, this sort of relentlessly, and then you look out at the grass, the grain, the fields, just waves, you know, and I guess that parallel to like the ocean. I had never thought of that before, but like how, you know, even the sound of the surf, in the trees, it's like, yeah, that we would have had probably a lot more in common with, you know, some sort of, you know, sea person, you know, in some of that stuff. And, but yeah, to just be under the sky that's so massive, you know, I love what she calls, you know, land rich in sky and full of surprises. That is it. You know, it was living in a place that was, it was a land of extremes, and it was a tough place. You know, a place that I would struggle to live now. It's got me thinking a lot about where I came from and what shaped me, in a landscape that, you know, had features that you had to be resilient sort of just to survive in. And then to sort of come from a place like that into other landscapes. I know that, you know, coming from the farm, there is a, maybe a closer connection to the earth and soil and things like that, because you're literally tilling it, you know, you're literally, farming the earth. So there is that, but I do think that we all have a sense of wanting stability. I think still that that's really the story of any of us right now is, you know, we want to belong. We want to be in a place that knows us. And we want to feel stable in this world that's so swirling and uncertain. And just, you know, I think of, you know, in God's original design, you know, and for what he called good, you know, the Garden of Eden was a distinct, localized place made for human flourishing. You know, it wasn't sort of a nomadic experience of like, join me on the road and let's go see the world. I mean, it really was a place he established for Adam and Eve. You know, that was later marred by the fall. But, you know, in our DNA, in our imprint, in the way that God, you know, I think designed us, yeah, there is the sense of longing for connection in what's around us. So I know this was a lot about sort of my own kind of thoughts around what I came from and things around, you know, my experience in the high plains of the Dakotas. Interestingly saw too that North Dakota is the most treeless state in the entire country. In second is Nebraska, which has double the trees. So, you know, when we say our state tree is the telephone pole, we earned that. So anyhow, yeah, I hope that in all the meanderings and all the way that this maybe conversation I've been having here has had around location and geography, that there's something you can pull from, thinking about your own story. Where have you come from? What places do you, you know, feel alive going back to, feel like, you know, visiting an old house? Maybe it's a place you grew up somewhere. It's a school. But somewhere to, you know, I don't know, to make that. I love what he talked about in this book, The Language of the Cottonwoods, for sort of making a pilgrimage back. You know, it sounded like once a year to sort of just remember where he came from and walk those places. I know, having left our family farm and then years later, you know, kind of realizing and being made aware that our actual farmstead, you know, the person that owned it, you know, for, you know, good reason for him, you know, got rid of all the buildings and it no longer has an actual identity as a farmstead besides three grain bins. And that was super hard for me to reconcile with. And now it's just literally a, you know, part of the soil and a field. And like, I just, yeah, like I didn't realize how, hard that was going to be for me to grieve that loss, even as I was up there at my home, you know, kind of grieving my dad's life. And you know, at the cemetery plot, which was right near the farmstead, but you know, to have the farmstead as well gone, you know, that was another loss. And so anyway, I've really been meandering and, but yeah, just hope that there was something thought provoking here, to thinking about being formed by our geography and being rooted in a place. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you found something helpful, hopeful, or thought provoking. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in the podcast. And we also have links in the notes for our own resources to check out. We would really love to hear from you. And we're also really grateful for your support by sharing the podcast episodes with your friends and family and leaving a rating and review. May we all regain and maintain our wonder, hope, and inspiration as we look at our ordinary through new and fresh eyes.